let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening and remind you to subscribe and tell a friend. I'm here in the studio, as usual, with C.K. Thompson. How are you?
Hello, Brian. Thank you. Good to see you today. Hey, we are coming to you live via podcast.
As live as a podcast could be.
As live as a podcast can be from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a beautiful day today. Man, it's like right around 70, and it's we're in February still, aren't we?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's warm. It's way over 70.
Oh, beautiful. I love it. I love this town. You know, people try to call it, well, I know, they call it Sin City, but I want you to know this is Grace City. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And wow, we have met some of the most amazing people here. Wonderful, loving people that are really respectful of God, they're hungry for the things of God. And the Lord brought us here because Las Vegas is actually one of 12 cities that the Lord showed Mike. Actually, Michael the Archangel showed them to Mike. Las Vegas is a network city, intercessory prayer, network of cities across the United States.
Yeah, it was 12. Was it 10 or 12?
I believe it. You know what? Was it 10 or 12? Well, I don't
know.
Okay.
We'll go with 12.
I'm pretty sure it's 12.
But I think you're probably right.
The angel, actually the archangel Michael, took Mike up into the heavens and has done it several times now and showed it to him. And this is random because this is not something I was going to talk about today. But he showed it to him and showed him the network of intercession cities that were positioned, a network of intercessors, and Las Vegas is one of them, and that was at the time that the Lord told us to come here to move our ministry headquarters to Las Vegas.
Yep.
So that was in 2013.
So here it is.
Here we are.
Yep, here it is.
I am so thankful. There's nothing like obeying God. You know, some people, you know, as long as you don't know what you're called to do, you're frustrated. We're always going to be frustrated in life. People that, if you find yourself living just in an area of frustration, you might want to spend time, just open your heart to something new and get with God and you know, just let Him show you, because destiny is in your DNA. And people don't realize that. It's already in you. All the dreams, visions, everything, you know, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He foreordained for you to walk in. I mean, He already put it all within you. And there are so many, oh man, how many thousands, millions of people who live and die and never know why they were here. Never tapped into that destiny that just flows through their, you know, through their veins. It's in you. It's already in you. As God's creation, you are God's creation. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, He says you are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. You're sitting with Him in heavenly places, and that's not just figuratively. There are times we, lately especially, we actually go there and sit, you know, in heavenly places, far above all power, every power, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places, the rank and file of demons that are in the second heaven, that we have dominion over in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, you know, Jesus told His disciples, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. You know, people like look at that, whoa, why should I go? if all power has been given to you? Because we're going in His name. In a different gospel, and telling the same story, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then He said, in my name, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall cast out demons. Where it says, you know, you'll handle serpents and scorpions. That was an analogy of demons. It's not literal snake handling. That's ridiculous. Jesus was saying that, you know, the devil who's been put under our feet by the authority of Jesus, that in his name that we can find the strategies of God to put the devil under our feet, cast him down and out of our lives and the lives of those around us. It's by the authority and third heaven authority, when the message that the Lord gave to Mike, so many people haven't understood how far-reaching our authority is. In the book of Psalms, chapter 8, he says, you know, that our authority reaches, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you would consider us? And yet he has given us authority that reaches into the heavens. So people need to realize that. It's not just here on earth. I've heard people preach that. It's not just here on earth. You have authority that reaches to the heavens. And we are supposed to be walking in that in this day and hour in order to do what God is calling us to do, in order to walk in that destiny that's in your DNA. It takes authority to walk it out. And I think I just prophesied, Brian, because that's not on any of our notes. And we're looking at each other like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah. Definitely went sideways already from the original plan here, which is great. Yeah, it worked out fine. And also I would add that there was discussion on Third Heaven Authority. Just check out the last podcast before this one.
Yes. We had Mike Thompson
catch up on
there.
That. Yeah, exactly. So there's good discussion on that. And if you want to catch up, just go back and re-listen to that or listen to it for the first time, if that's the case.
Yes. And the thing about angels and authority, too, because one of the things Mike didn't have a chance to talk about, which I have to have him back to talk about those things, but he saw when he was praying from third heaven and he was like speaking the word of God from up there into situations. Every time he said the word of God or he rebuked or took authority over any kind of demonic entity, and a sword would come out of his mouth with the assignment, with the word of God on that sword. It was written on the sword as it came out of his mouth, and an angel zipped past him and grabbed that sword and took it to accomplish that which it was sent to do.
Yep.
So, wow, this really is a slightly different direction than what we were talking about.
That's right.
But I think it's good, and it doesn't take away from it all. In fact, it's really a good segue into what our topic is today, which is basically, what is our topic?
The ways of the Spirit. Okay, yeah. Basically, did you want to start out by sharing?
Yeah, I've got some dreams, visions. I keep talking about dreams and visions.
Yeah, I was going to say dreams and I stopped short.
Right,
so
that's what...
Did you want to share? Then I stopped because then I just thought you might want to explain something about that.
Yes.
The term.
Right. We've been talking about the terminologies that I've been using for quite a while, talking about dreams and visions. And a lot of people think that I'm talking about dreaming in the night. And some of it is. But I need to find better terms. And I was trying to, asking the Lord, how do we put it into words? Some of the dreams, actually, I've dreamed dreams all my life, especially after I got saved. I've been dreaming dreams all my life, actually, even before I got saved. The Lord had his hand on me, and I didn't know it. But the dreams became much more specific as time went on. And I didn't realize that other believers, because, you know, I came in through the Jesus movement. We're all excited and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, which for me, I thrive on stuff that's controversial, man. It's just what I do. God uses me to poke the bear, which is usually the spirit of religion. Religionism. I found a new word, religionism.
Religionism.
Yes. That helps people understand. I'm not attacking. I harp on it a lot. I use the word religion, but actually, you know, some people, if they don't understand, they think I'm talking about their church or that I'm against churches or things like that. No, I'm talking about an actual spirit.
Very specific spirit, which happens to be, by the way, in the world as much as it is in the church.
Yes.
It's not just
a church thing. It got into the church.
There.
Yeah, it came into the church through the world. It's called legalism.
Right.
God's system of operation and heaven's system of operation is grace. The devil's system of operation and hell's operating system is legalism. And when legalism came into the church world, it becomes religion, religious spirits. It becomes controlling, manipulating. I think I wrote a whole thing about that. So we're trying to help people understand that I am not anti the things of God or their church or whatever. I'm
right.
Totally taking aim at that spirit that has come in, and the word says that they it has just made the word of God of no effect. They have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For instance, the Pharisees that confronted Jesus constantly. And he confronted them publicly. He didn't go behind closed doors and, hey, you guys, you know, this is really what I think about. No, he did. I mean, check out Matthew 23. He just went after the Pharisees up one side and down the other, right in front of everyone.
That's right.
In front of God and everyone. Because for the sake of the people as well. So did John the Baptist. Because those people had been under the thumb and under the control and manipulation of those religious leaders for so long, they needed to hear someone to come and tell them the truth and validate their hearts that this was wrong. And a lot of people listening today need someone to validate their hearts that it's wrong. And if you think you're running from God, you're probably more likely running from religion, religionism, that whole spirit of legalism. I know I ran from it for years. And I was abused at the hands of that. That spirit is so wicked, it helps people develop doctrines that enable them to become offenders and abusers, right in the name of the Lord, including even sexual abuse, molesting their children. I mean, you see it, some of the really radical things, you know, like in some of those cults and stuff where they find out later and bring out and rescue all the women and children that are being abused and raped and stuff, of course, in the name of the Lord. And it's just such an affront. Religion parades itself as the mouthpiece of God.
It yes.
parades itself as if it's doing God a favor, like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was a Pharisee. He thought he was doing God a favor by
killing Christians.
Yep. Killing the Christians, persecuting them. He stood there and held the people's coats or something when Stephen was martyred. He was fine with that. He was helping. And he had a lot of repenting to do there, probably to people, I'm pretty sure, when the Lord called him. And they were afraid to even receive him at first because they couldn't believe he actually got, you know.
Yeah. And then he had a hard time getting past it himself later. He always, I mean, he would refer to himself as the chiefest of sinners, things
yes,
like that.
Exactly. And the reason that I believe that even scripturally and prophetically, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said that because I believe the chiefest sin you can do is to have a position of leadership over the people of God and then misuse that and abuse the people of God. To me, that's like one of the chiefest sins in the body of Christ, in the world, really.
Sure.
Anybody who's ever done really horrific things, I mean, even Hitler, he was in the occult, he was in, there were religious spirits behind it, religious demons behind it, and people don't realize that. All those things are always driven by religious demons or religionism. I like that word, but religionism.
Yes.
And boy, so many churches are so steeped in it. I can't go in. You know, I honestly
literally
can't
go in.
No, I can't. I there's times when I have to ask the Lord when I get invitations or to speak or whatever, or to go. You know, Mike, he can handle it. He's different gift mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a prophet seer, and I'm like one of those. I'm the canary in the mine shaft. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that I know before we get there that this is like a setup, man. There's times that I can't even go in. We've gone to some meetings. I say, Mike, would you drop me off at McDonald's and I'll wait for you here till it's over with? Because it's just brutal. But I will go in usually anyway. Because if there's anyone that can be set free from that mess, I want to be there to help do that.
Exactly.
But boy, I tell you what, the migraines that I used to get, I still would call them religion headaches. Word there, anybody gets a migraine every time you go to church, you might want to check out think twice about that church.
Yeah, and that's kind of a common thing, too. That happens to more people than we think.
Yes, and they don't realize they're,
that's the thing. They don't even know that that's a thing.
Right.
But it is.
When I was a child, now that sounds like Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child. Now that I've become a man, wait a minute, I'm a woman. Well, I'm a son in the spirit. But when I was a child, I had migraine headaches from as early as I can remember. I was being abused at home, behind closed doors, and then required to go to church, and we would spend all day Sunday. I wasn't even allowed to take off my dress and put on play clothes for a couple hours in the afternoon because I had to be all ready to go back to church that night. I mean, we got everything, Sunday school, church, choir practice, youth groups, whatever it was, night service, and whatever it was, we had to be there for everything. And I would almost literally get a migraine headache every Sunday night. And I would half the time have to miss school on Mondays because of it. I'd be so ill.
That's something.
And then when I rebelled, started running from religion, abuse, whatever. I literally ran away a time or two. But during those years that I was on drugs,
probably no migraines.
Not one. Not a migraine ever. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Not until I came back to the Lord. Or I still don't know when I technically got saved. But I figure when I was, 19 maybe? 18? I was 18. Because Mike and I had already been married about almost a year. Got married when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Just to escape. But no, I was in love. And I would have, the moment we started going back to church, see, I couldn't go to church. I would go to a home group.
Yeah, home group.
And
kind of put your toe in the water.
Yeah, and get ministered to, and like, wow. And then I ended up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and just had this powerful encounter with God, with the love of God laying in on the living room floor at Mike's mom and dad's house. And then we were fine. We had prayer meetings Friday, Saturday night that would last till like 2-3 in the morning. And we'd be so drunk in the spirit coming out of there. And this was in the 70s. We didn't know what that was. We'd be laughing. People rolling around laughing, crying. Man, we would have a casting demons out of people. I remember people running around in the backyard because trying to get away from us.
Wow.
And
people
say, in the name of Jesus, and they'd hit the ground and then jump up and try to run. We were learning a lot back then. But we would get so drunk in the spirit, and it was just awesome. And no migraines. No migraines. But the moment we tried to go to church, the migraines came back. And that's when my lightning quick mind started to make the connection. The spirit of religion. I didn't know what you called it. And there were no charismatic churches at the time, at least in our neck of the woods.
Right.
It was either, let me see.
Pentecostal.
Yeah, the old time Pentecostal churches, God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of outward holiness, legalism. It was bad. And they love the Lord, and so I you know, I want to badmouth them, but man, they also have a lot of blood on their hands for turning people away at the door because we weren't dressed right.
And that's literally, not figuratively, but that happened.
That literally happened, yeah. I was just dense enough to think, hey, we all love Jesus here. And I went in wearing my blue jeans and the t-shirt that says, here's a picture of Jesus, and it says, my friend. And I didn't know that I was offending them.
Oh.
They wanted me in a long dress with the neckline up to my chin and the sleeves down to my wrists. And they couldn't believe it. I just came in and didn't get it. They were trying to get me saved all over again. I didn't understand. But I watched them turn people away, because that's during the Jesus movement. We didn't know where to go to church. And the Baptist, Mike's church, where he was raised, they literally had to call a meeting. What do you call it? The
like church, the elders,
the church membership,
the board, or the
whole,
membership.
The whole membership.
Oh, all of it. Everybody.
So it was a yep. Okay. All the members came together so that they could take a vote and kick them out. They literally did, because they found out they were speaking in tongues.
So they removed them.
They removed them. That's mm-hmm. what I think it was Kenneth Hagin jokingly referred to as receiving the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists.
Right.
And they didn't know any better. That's all they knew. That's what they've been taught. And what's really ironic and awesome today is that, looking back on that time, Mike could tell you, probably almost everyone in that room that night, and they were angry, man. Religion makes people angry and mean. They were so angry. And how dare you speak in tongues? I don't know why it caused that kind of anger. It's like they felt they were being betrayed by the Thompson family.
Yeah.
And so they kicked him out, and then it was just within a few years, all of them were all speaking in tongues. They all got it. So
funny how that works.
Yeah. And that's not any of our notes for today either.
Mm-mm.
This is an interesting podcast. Religionism is a truly wicked thing that people need to be made aware of, and not just think, well, that's something we put up with. Jesus told, I believe, I don't remember which church it was, the Laodicea in Revelations. Oh, man. Well, anyway, you could maybe look that up. I think it's mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I should know that. And he talked about how they tolerated that woman Jezebel. She works with Pharisee, even though she's more liberal. She's actually an idol worshiper. First thing she worships is herself. There's a lot of narcissism in Jezebel. And Jesus said, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. And have you found that? Oh, living creatures. I love living creatures. I've seen some. I've seen a living creature. I saw the side that was the face of the lion. Very kind. I had walked up a mountain in a dream. I was walking up a mountain, and there was a huge creature sitting up there, and he looked at me with the most loving, kind eyes and told me he was a living creature and that he was sent to protect and guard the anointing on our ministry. That's just a side note there. Okay.
Is it Revelations 2? Revelations
2, yes. Now that 2:4 is, I have this against you, that you have left your first love.
That's different.
That's a biggie. But that's the same chapter. Here it is. It's chapter 2. Okay. Verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire, and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white-hot bronze. I'm in the Amplified. I know your record and what you are doing, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. But I have this against you.
There it is.
Verse 20. That you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants, and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent out of her immorality, and she refuses to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of affliction, and those who commit adultery with her I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction, unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. And I will strike her children dead, thoroughly exterminating them. Boy, the Amplified gets with it, huh? And all the assemblies and churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches the minds, the thoughts, feelings, and purposes, and the inmost hearts. And I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you that I do not lay upon you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and is victorious and who obeys my commands to the very end, I will give him authority and power over the nations. And so, and on it goes. But the issue there, how strongly the Lord feels about Jezebel.
Absolutely.
And Jezebel usually is the one that spirit is, you got your Pharisee, you got Jezebel. Pharisee is actually the religious spirit that controls and runs the people, usually in churches they try to control and run the pastor, and they like to have positions of leadership and authority and power over other people. They don't care about their souls. They just like having power over other people. And
right.
There's a lot of spiritual abuse at their hands, as well as other kinds of abuse. Because whenever there's spiritual abuse, that's what opens the door for the other kinds of abuse, such as I suffered as a child. The beatings, physical abuse and sexual abuse and all those kinds of things, the verbal abuse, the tearing down of your heart and of who you are as a person, those things are all in manifestations of spiritual abuse. They don't happen unless spiritual abuse is going on. That's a word, man. People
That's right.
need to understand just how dangerous spirits of religion or religionism, how dangerous it is. And then Jezebel is the spirit that comes in and likes to usurp other people's authority. It's, again, we're talking about authority because it'll come up underneath. And a lot of times they work together, Pharisee and Jezebel, to take out a ministry, for instance. Pharisees are very self-righteous and smug, and Jezebel is more devious. You see, Jezebel, I know Jezebel is not just a woman. It often operates through women, but I've seen it operate through men, too. It's a spirit. Boy, I just took this over, didn't I?
You're doing great.
This Jezebel will buddy up under a ministry or a pastor and get in under there, a lot of times with lots of flattering words, lots of finances, and there's nothing wrong with finances. There are actually ministry gifts in Romans 12 where giving is an actual gift of the Spirit, or administrative gift of God to the body of Christ. People who have ministries of giving. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Jezebel, who uses money to control a pastor, and flattering lips to control a pastor or a leader. I've seen it in the prophetic movement. I've seen them do it to prophets and apostles and get in under them and say, hey, and just, really puff them up and like, oh, wow, well, that's so awesome. You're such a great prophet. We love you so much. And, here's all this money. And hey, they start intercepting the people telling that minister what they ought to do now. And they start applying pressure.
Yep. Many strings attached.
Oh, boy. That's it. They're not giving to the Lord. They're giving to control. And there's a big difference because God wants his people to prosper. He wants his ministries to prosper. But a lot of them don't know how to say no if someone tries to, and I'm using air quotes, profit.
Yes.
They try to prosper you, but it's not really godly prosperity. They're trying to manipulate you.
The strings are attached.
Absolutely. that's really wicked. They start usurping someone else's authority. And they start walking in the authority that an anointing that was not theirs in the first place. They just, when you're around anybody, when you're around someone's anointing, it will get on you. There, you know, some things are just caught, not taught. Mm-hmm. We've heard that said a lot. The reason is because it's by anointings. There's so many anointings that God has distributed throughout the body of Christ. And whatever anointing you want to be part of, you know, you really need to take into consideration when you choose what ministry you're going to hook up with or what church you're going to go to, etc. Because whatever the anointing is there is going to get on you. Just like in Numbers 11, when the 72 elders came to the place of meeting, and God took of the anointing that was on Moses and put some of it on them.
That's right.
And so they got to prophesy. And then they also got to thinking they were pretty hot stuff. And like, hey, we're special. We can prophesy. Why are we any different than what makes Moses so special? We don't need him. There's a lot of that right now going on. People say, we don't need the fivefold ministry. We can all prophesy. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, you can.
But then it says that they saw it in dreams. And,
yes.
And something about they saw vision darkly, something like that. But Moses saw God face to face.
Exactly.
A different story.
The Lord spoke to him face to face. In fact, he confronted him. They looked for any way to try to go after Moses. When that happened and they took part of Moses' anointing, the fear of God started to leave some of them. They all thought, hey, any of us could do this. They could to a point, but God, that's when his brother and sister, I know, I got to tell this. I know it sounds like I'm all over the map, but this really does. We were going to talk about the ways of the Spirit
right.
in this podcast. So,
no, this is a good point that you're about to make. I kind of know where you're going there. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
It's in Numbers. I think I've got it marked here. Numbers 12 is, see, in 11 is when the Lord came down in the cloud and he spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. They prophesied like Moses, and they had never gotten to do that before. So, boy, they were excited. And they didn't recognize or have any fear of God of where that anointing came from. And so
right. You
go on, and I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to go to chapter 12. Because this has happened to so many ministers,
mm-hmm.
pastors, families, it's happened to us, and there's a lot of pastors' wives out there that can totally say amen. There's going to be one huge collective amen in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's an uprising like that, so this would be, well, I'm not sure if this is just Jezebel or Pharisee here. This is just pride, I think. When Miriam and Aaron, it says, now Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses, their brother, because of his Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite woman, which was, in other translations, call her...
Ethiopian.
Yes, Ethiopian. She was a black woman. I'm
right.
pretty sure that's what that's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that is what that's saying, yeah.
So they were basically racist because it was not illegal in the eyes of God for him to marry her.
Right.
It was marriage with...
They just didn't like it.
Right. It was marriage with a Canaanite was forbidden, but not with the Cushite or Egyptians. She was not a Canaanite, but she was a black woman. And they talked against Moses, their brother, because of his wife. It's a dynamic in the church world that when there's an uprising in a church where people start lifting themselves up and they haven't been able to manipulate and control their pastor sufficiently, though this is all within the realms of religionism, okay?
Yeah.
This is part of that church stuff that I can't participate in. I can't go into those churches that do that, and there are plenty of them.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. This is a power move for controllers, what you're talking about right here.
Absolutely.
Something they'll bring up.
Yeah, yeah. They go after the pastor's wife or the prophet's wife. They'll go after the apostle's wife. And I've seen so many women just absolutely broken. It's one of the most cruel things I've ever seen. I mean, she's just trying to stand beside her husband in the ministry, and he's the one with the call on him, and she's standing there, you know, Well, there's a call on her too. Usually they're called together. But why do they go after the wife? First of all, my own take on it, they're cowards. They won't say it face to face to the pastor himself or to Moses himself or whatever. They have to go around the scenes, you know, behind the scenes and go after his wife. Like, I mean, I had that happen so many times over the years. People come to me with their complaints and gripes about Mike and want me to pass it on to him. And I tell him, please tell him yourself. They think I'm his secretary and they want me to take a message. I'm sorry, but I can't remember pretty much anything after a service. I'm under the anointing. They want me to... They put demands on the minister's wife just purely because she's married to him. And right. It's really wicked. But what happened here was...
So you see that dynamic all the way back here.
Yep.
In the book of Numbers.
All the way back in the book of Numbers that was happening. So, pastor's wives, minister's wives listening to me, take courage. God is going to take your cause. He's taking up your cause. And you don't have to put up with that. You are not required to put up with that. That's a word. Take it. Be bold. Say no. If you got something to say, say it to my husband. So this is what Miriam and Aaron said. Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. I'll just let that sink in for a second. People think the Lord doesn't hear it.
I don't know why.
It's pretty dumb, isn't it? Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Who does he think he is? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And the Lord, and the man Moses was very meek. I'm in the Amplified. What does yours say? Translation.
It says, okay, I've got a New King James here. So mm-hmm. At verse 6, is that what you're talking about?
Verse 3.
3?
Yeah.
It says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth.
There you go. That's a good word. It says meek here, and then in the brackets it goes into like three, you know, gentle, kind, humble. I just wondered what yours said. He was humble. He was a humble man. Part of humble is letting the Lord fight your battle. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And they three came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the tent door and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forward. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted and faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, directly and clearly, and not in dark speeches, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Another place says that he recognizes the form of the Lord, or he gets to see the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous. She had leprosy, as white as snow. And Aaron looked at Miriam, and behold, she had leprosy. And then the rest of the story goes on that Aaron pleaded with Moses, you know, to plead with the Lord, you know, don't lay this sin upon us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. He at least acknowledged it as what it was.
Right.
Sin. They cried out. He cried out to Moses. Moses cried out to God. And, you know, I, to this day, you know, and just so you know, the rest of the story, the Lord did heal Miriam.
She had to go outside of the camp for 7 days, but
yeah, she did.
Came back restored.
Right. The Lord restored her and healed her, but she learned an important lesson, and I think the body of Christ needs to learn a lesson here, all of us. That one thing, don't ever lend your mouth against any man of God, any prophet of God, apostle of God, a preacher, whether you agree with them or not. I mean, I know stuff about preachers that the Lord has shown me by His Spirit, and I still walk in fear and trembling. I won't go around gossiping about them. I won't talk about them if I don't agree with their methods, if I don't like what they're preaching, if I think they're, whatever it is, do not ever lend your mouth against to speak against the man of God or woman of God. You just don't do that. Don't you think that God doesn't hear it?
Right.
You are man on thin ice. I've been confronted with some of these people, even like on the internet, because there's people that like on Facebook and or
right.
by email. They write emails.
Social media or emails and yeah.
More and more and more people coming and asking for a word from the Lord. And my life is very busy, and I have I have an agreement with the Lord. Let's put it that way. All of my energies will go towards obeying the Lord, and if there's any time for spare time for anything else, I'll minister. And it's not that I withhold a word, but I can tell right up front the moment I open an email. Sometimes before, I know what spirit they're of. And there are people that I've had, like even recently, a man that came and wanted a word from me, and it was just sort of like demanding that I give him a word. So-and-so said I should write to you and that you would give me a word from God. So, okay, let's do this. And I'm like, really? Like, what am I? Who are you to me? If you look at some of the prophets in the Old Testament, there are times that, I mean, they didn't make any bones about it. They just said to certain people that came to them, you know, I wouldn't even, if it weren't for my respect for the friend that sent you, I wouldn't give you the time of day. That's how I felt about this man. I think it was just 2 weeks ago that this happened. And also what I can tell too is when they don't even, there's the lack of honor, because in the Word, there's several different places in the Old Testament where they would never dream of seeking out the prophet for a word. If without honor, they would bring what is called
a gift. Yeah,
it's called an honor gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much the amount. It's not like, oh, I'm prophesying for money. That's not it at all. In fact, it's I won't prophesy to someone that doesn't respect God, not just me, the Lord, and this anointing. I am so humbled that God is doing this in my life. How dare I disrespect it, or let anyone else disrespect it that way? I mean, in the Word, when people went to the prophet, there was one place they were going to go see Samuel, and they didn't. I wish I had it written down. They said, we don't have any money to give to the prophet, and they said,
that's right.
Well, we have a loaf of bread. Okay, let's take this loaf of bread. It wasn't the amount of money, it was the respect. They brought a loaf of bread, in that case, to the prophet, and then he received that. People need to understand about prophet's reward and so forth, and fear of God, and respect, and honor offerings, etc. This man brought nothing but disrespect, and basically he was a bully, and basically demanded a word. And I answered him back what my method is. I write people back just to let them know I got their email. And then I throw in a word from the Lord real quick while I'm telling them, you know, I tell them what I feel just briefly, and then say I'll have to write more later. And very often I don't have to write more later because I just told them the word. If they have one bit of spiritual sense, then they will know they've got a word right there, instead of sitting there waiting.
Right.
I gave that man a word. He doesn't even know it. He didn't even recognize it.
Oh, really?
I gave him a real quickie word when I wrote back to him and said, I'll get back to you when I can. Because I'm not going to just, you know, prophesy at the drop of a hat just because you demanded it.
Right.
Nobody drop any hats.
Plus, you gave him a word and he didn't recognize that anyway.
Exactly. And also, I need to go pray. And I'm busy. What do you think? I got nothing better to do but just sit here and wait for your email? I'm so glad you wrote. I was so bored today. I had nothing better to do. So thank God that you got on here and finally got someone to prophesy to.
Exactly.
Okay, that's sarcasm. But for those that don't know, I'm not trying to be unkind either. I'm just trying to establish that without the honor, without respecting authority, which is kind of where we started, and without recognizing the ways of the Spirit, people get themselves into trouble with God, and they don't even realize. They murmuring against like Creflo Dollar because God prospered that man. Boy, you won't ever find me murmuring about that. As far as I'm concerned, we're all in that same what we call pay line. If God will do it for him, he'll do it for us. I rejoice that God is prospering Creflo Dollar, man, and I want in on that anointing. You cannot have what you talk against. And so that's a word right there. So
right.
With this man that wrote to me, I gave him a brief word just to, you know, kind of prime the pump so that his heart would be ready. And then I took time. I mean, I had other things to do, other people. Mm-hmm. I got a life.
Yeah.
And things to do here. And I have to pray about it and make sure that what I say is God, although I already knew what the word was. Just a few days later, I got an email from him, and he was really angry. That, you know, bullying, angry. How come you haven't written back to me, you know? All that, just demanding his word from the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And the thing is, he was real good at trying to make it all flowery and nice sounding and everything when he presents himself. But I can see it. I already know. I could feel the Spirit behind it before I clicked the subject, before I even opened the email.
Sure.
And it felt like a kick in the gut. He was angry. And I wouldn't be surprised if he hadn't been drinking or something when he wrote it. Not that, you know, it's not, drinking is not a sin, but I know that whatever he was doing, it helped him to be super disrespectful to the prophet. He was mad. And basically demanding his word.
So did you write back?
I actually did. I prayed about it for a little bit and asked Mike to pray with me, and we rebuked that crap that tried to get on me. It was an assault on me, on my heart. And my first inclination was, no, I'm not going to give you a word at all. But Jesus knew men's hearts and says that he did not give himself to them because he knew their hearts, but he didn't withhold ministry from them either. So I just asked the Lord, you know, what do we do here? And he gave me a word. And so I wrote to the man and read his mail, so to speak. And it was true, and it was spot on. And he wrote back later and said, wow, and yeah, that was God. And he thanked me and kind of apologized for his attitude, kind of. And then proceeded to tell me why, oh, well, I'm already getting help and blah, 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 and I don't know, and who needs you, kind of a thing. I'm like,
Oh, wow.
I think you needed me last week, but all of a sudden you don't need me anymore. I think I got a little too close to home in that man's heart. And so, wow, this is a weird podcast, isn't it?
That's been good so far.
Yeah, we may have to pick this up. Next time.
We are running out of time. Maybe we should make it two parts. And let's go ahead and do that, huh?
I just want to finish the one point there.
Yeah, please do.
He had that same spirit of these people that the anointing came on them. And they prophesied. That whole attitude of what makes you so special? Why was Moses so special? It's okay to treat members of the fivefold ministry, for instance, that way. Or how about treat anybody that way? You know, the disrespect was just amazing to me.
Of course.
That how you angrily demand a word from the Lord, that's not how you hear from God. But my point is also that him, and there was also another member of his family, and they write all these flowery, wonderful things that sound so spiritual. But the moment that they heard that we had any kind of a financial need that we were believing God for, because the Lord just gave us our office building here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, man, they ran for the hills. They ran for the hills. All of a sudden, they disappeared, dropped off the planet. Not
really?
A dime. Not even a dime.
Uh-huh.
So they had zero respect for the prophet of God. I don't know. This was different. Stay tuned for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. It just... it seems to me like an attempt to make you common, you know, like in that case.
Yes, that's what people are trying to do with the fivefold ministry, especially prophets and apostles, try to like bring them down to, let's make it all common so we don't have to respect or honor anyone.
And just everybody's buddy, and then just common, and just kind of leave it there.
And that's when Jezebel gets in. And anyway, there has to be authority, there has to be respect for God's way of operating in the kingdom. Grace does not mean you can go around and bully people. And also, I just wanted to mention that in the next podcast, we're going to make this a two-parter. Since we're talking about the ways of the Spirit, I've got some dreams. Actually, that's what we were talking about. We didn't know what to call them. Visions of the night. Words from the Lord about Hillary Clinton. I've had dreams about Obama. The Lord has talked to me. Jesus has actually appeared to me for years. And we were going to share some of those dreams, some of these things here, and didn't get to any of them yet. So stay tuned for next time. But always remember, God loves you, and that you are precious, you're special. I want to also thank the Streams of Many Waters podcasting network and all the great people over there. They're awesome. You should listen, catch some of those podcasts. I really like Vote Wasted. It's one of my favorites. But they're all really good. Firestorm and Wendell McGowan really got some powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Living Out Loud.
Living Out Loud, that's what it is. One. They're a blessing. We love you guys.
Yep, check all that out. And I want to thank you guys. We'll pick up the discussion next week. So till then, thanks.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.